Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to continue in our discussion of the Word of God. We pray that everybody had a Merry Christmas. Today is December 27th, 2022, and we're about to enter into 2023. So with that being said, we're going to pick up where we left off dealing with the teaching of Christ as our heavenly Melchizedek, his ministry according to the order of Melchizedek. We were in Hebrews chapter 7, and we were looking at the fact of how we compared and contrasted Aaron's priesthood with Christ's priesthood. Okay, Aaron was according to the order of the Levitical system, or the Levites, the tribe of Levi. Now, what we want to show in this is that all that Levitical system and the order according to the tribe of Aaron was talking about an earthly ministry. The Jews or the people could not have communion or fellowship with God due to the fact of the fall. Man has a sinful nature, and this is something that we all have to remember. You're not a sinner just because you perform acts of sin. You're a sinner because, or we were sinners because we were born in sin. And what that means is that we, because of Adam and Eve at the very beginning, God put several trees there, and he told them they were free to eat of every tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were not to eat of that, because he said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And y'all hear the feedback? If you can, mute your lines, see if we can get this little echo out. But God told Adam and Eve to eat only from, to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan came in through the serpent. He used the faculties of a serpent. And he spoke with the woman, and he convinced her to eat from that tree. And she ate from it. When she ate from the tree, sin did not enter in when the woman ate. Sin entered when Adam ate, because God gave him the commandment. And Adam, being the head or our representative man, should have obeyed God instead of giving in to the lust of his wife. Amen. So the Bible tells us that he flat out disobeyed, but the woman was deceived. And so because he ate or partook of this tree, in the beginning, God had planned to impart his life into into mankind. Man was to live forever in the presence of God, with the likeness of God, and the fullness and the expression of God, and also the authority of God. That was God's initial plan. And I'm saying this because we're going somewhere. And God intended for man to be his authority in this earth. But Satan, through deception, came in and usurped the authority of God in man's life. Now, seeing this, that's when sin entered in. Sin is a bent towards wrongdoing. Sin and rebellion came in through Lucifer, who was first an angel, an angelic angel in the heavenlies. And he had this rebellion within himself. And he convinced a third of the angels to throw in their lots with him because they wanted to overtake God's throne. Because of his beauty, and he was the cherub, the covering cherub in the presence of God, and he was had pipes of beauty and all these things. Because of his beauty, he was lifted up in pride, and therefore convinced the angels to throw in their lots, and they became fallen angels. After this, Satan was judged. They were judged, and what happened was Satan also, in rebellion, caused God's greatest creation to turn against him in the fall. And so Satan has control. The Bible says, and we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that Satan is the god of this world system. He still has his powers. He's not been finally judged to the lake of fire. He's not the little red man with the pitchfork in his hand. He still roams the earth. He's the prince of the power of the air. Much of the chaos and the death and all these things that we see happening in this world system, all of creation was affected by this fall. And because all of creation was affected by the fall, there was a need for a redeemer. Okay? Because God cannot find any human being without this bent, this nature in him, a bent towards wrongdoing, It meant that God found men and women he could use, but they were limited because of this sinful nature. So therefore, Christ said, Father, prepare me a body. Before he was Christ, the anointed one who came down and wrapped himself in the body of flesh, he was first the Word. Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then you go down in John 1:14, the Word became flesh. He tabernacled himself amongst man. Okay? So by Christ coming to the earth, he became the last Adam. And what we mean by the last Adam is simply that he became the last Adam who represented mankind. What Adam, the first Adam, should have done, he was tempted in all points in all ways that the first Adam was, but yet without sin. He did not disobey God. And so, therefore, mankind could not reach God or be back brought back to God unless there was shed blood. Now, the Old Testament pointed to a coming Redeemer. So everyone in the Old Testament, all the Jews and the Levitical priesthood, they will offer sacrifice. The Jews were God's chosen people that he used to represent himself here in the earth. But the only way that they could be brought nigh unto God was through offering sacrifices, okay? These sacrifices pointed to Christ, who would be the Redeemer or the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world when he would be step on the scene in the New Testament. That makes sense? And so the Jews throughout history always worship God through animal sacrifice. But the Bible tells us that the animal's sacrifice could not remove sin. See, they needed a permanent solution. And this is where Christ and his priesthood, his ministry comes to play. This is what Sister Cynthia was talking about. The physical priesthood had to be men of a certain tribe and a certain age. But Christ's priesthood, because he offered himself and died on our behalf and offered himself as the propitiation or the satisfaction, God's satisfaction. God is not satisfied with nothing that we offer unless it's been offered through and with Christ. Understand that. This is why God rejected Cain's offering, because it was apart from the animal sacrifice, which pointed to Christ as a coming Redeemer. If they participated in that animal sacrifice by faith, they were saying they trusted in what God's redemption plan would offer them in the future. That makes sense? So here we have this Levitical system that daily offered all these animals. I mean, there was blood constantly. There was animals that were brought daily to be offered on the altar. And we said there were several offerings that all portrayed Christ in some type of way. So when we come to the New Testament, we have in the book of Hebrews some Jewish believers who were in that Jewish system who offered animal sacrifice realized that Christ had offered himself. And therefore, there was no need to look to the old as far as being redeemed. They now have the reality, Christ, who has come. See, they were looking forward to a Redeemer. Now he's already come. They look back to what he's done. We look back to his sacrifice. Christ will never have to offer himself as a sacrifice again. It was done once for all. Okay? So we said that to bring everybody up to speed to see that here in the book of Hebrews, now we're looking at in chapter 7, from chapter 1 to chapter 6, it shows us the earthly ministry of Christ. It shows us how Christ fulfilled the Aaronic priesthood, the role that Aaron fulfilled or the Levitical system portrayed in the Old Testament, the priest offering the sacrifice. It shows us how Christ fulfilled that by offering himself as the Lamb of God once for all. Now, understand what this offering does, his earthly ministry. We're just recapping. What his earthly ministry did was he was the Christ on earth that offered himself. So there was two aspects to Christ's priesthood, okay? One was typified by Aaron on earth, and the other was according to the order of Melchizedek in heaven. This is what we've been talking about, the two ministries that he fulfilled, the two aspects of his ministry. So his death on the cross, it says here that not many Christians know the two aspects of Christ's priesthood, okay? Although they know that Christ is our high priest, very few realize that Christ's priesthood, with his priesthood, are two aspects. The first is the priesthood of Christ typified by Aaron on earth, and this is revealed in chapter 5 of Hebrews, verses 1 through 5. And the second aspect of Christ's priesthood is that according to the order of Melchizedek, who is in heaven. See, when we read in chapter 6, verse 20, you'll see how, or 18 and 20, you'll see how Christ is now gone in the heavens. He's gone behind or within the veil. Okay? And he's seated on the right hand of God the Father at the throne. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, he's telling these Christians, these Jews who gave their life to Christ, who left Judaism, now that they've left, there's persecution in their lives. Their family's turned on them. They're having hardship. And they are contemplating going back to the old system. And here Paul is encouraging them, no, Christ is at the throne. You have to keep going forward. Now, remember, we compare this to the tabernacle, the temple and the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, there was, you had like, we explained this before, there was a gate with white linen sheet that was surrounded with white linen sheet, and it was a fence all around, but there was a gate for the entrance. That gate represented Christ. And right when you entered in, that you were in the outer court. There was an outer court. There was a holy place. There was a tabernacle that had two parts, the holy place and the holy of holies. So as you enter in, you immediately come to that brazen altar, which represented the cross, where Christ was crucified on the cross as a sacrifice. Immediately behind that was a brazen laver. Those two items were in the outer court. Outer court meaning that they were not enclosed within the tabernacle, okay? There was a tabernacle that had two compartments. It was covered with badger skin and all kind of different layers. And what happened was the priest would do all these different works. They would go from the altar, the brazen altar, to the brazen laver. And the whole point or aim was to go into the Holy of Holies. This is a replica or picture of where God is seated in the heavens. He's behind the veil. He's in the Holy of Holies. And what happens is the Christian has to progress his way to where God's presence is. When the priests would offer to do their daily services, only the high priest could go behind the veil where God's presence was. God's presence was within the or on top of the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And there, that's where God would speak. Okay? So God doesn't speak at the brazen altar where they offered the sacrifice. He didn't speak at the brazen laver. See, all of these are progression. We are progressing our way into God's presence. You got to see this. So we have to keep going forward. What does life have to offer us? Many of us have encountered many things in this life, right? Christ has said, in this life you're going to have tribulation, but, he put a but in there, be of good cheer. Why? Because he has overcome the world. Remember, he's the last Adam to overcome every obstacle. Christ is a forerunner. He's gone before us, paved the way, and passed through the heavens. Okay? Now, we have to see this because we need to understand or encounter Christ's ministry according to the order of Melchizedek. Any questions before I go further? We're talking about Christ being a heavenly high priest. And it's not according to the earthly high priest, but it's according to the heavenly high priest, which is all according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, understand Christ's ministry. It says the second aspect of Christ's priesthood is that according to the order of Melchizedek in heaven. And that's in Hebrews chapter 6. You can write these down so you can go back to it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, and chapter 7, verse 1. So we read in chapter 6:20 that as the forerunner, the Lord is now within the veil in the Holy of Holies in heaven. See, Christ is seated in heavenly places as the head. Well, his body is on the earth, and his body are the corporate, is the corporate body of believers who have chosen to go on and go forward with Christ. These are people who have chosen to identify with him and to overcome sin, to overcome self, the world, and Satan. There's a difference between me giving my life and just being a Christian or a saint and not doing anything with it, staying right there at the altar and never going forward, staying in the outer court but never getting closer to his presence. And those that desire to go forward. See, the Christians in the book of Hebrews had gone on. They were not in the outer court. They were in the holy place. And where the problem started was while they were in the holy place. So they got stuck in their emotions. Family members, friends, people they knew were persecuting them to the point of causing them to go back to what they left, Judaism. That make sense? And if they would have gone back to what they... Go ahead.
I just said amen.
Okay. And if they would have gone back, they would have been leaving, not going forward in God's presence. They would have been going backwards. See, God desires to have a people that he can use to fulfill his purposes. Y'all know how we are. We've been all about what we want from God. Lord, show up. Give me this. Give me that. I want the houses. I want the cars. I want the land. I want you to do this. And God's saying, well, what about what I want in the earth? And going forward and progressing and overcoming sin, self, the world, and Satan causes us to lose our identity outside of Christ. And it causes us to identify with his will, his desires, and his purposes. Remember we said when you were progressed to the holy place, there was a screen there, a screen at the door. And what does a screen do when you think about a screen? You know, I have screen doors. What does the screen do when you have the door open or the, how you say it? You know how you have the screen door and you lift up that
keep out
window and the screen shows, but this, go ahead, sister.
Keep out the bugs and...
Right. It filters, right? Amen. Uh-huh. Whatever's not, you don't want the insects and the bugs or whatever getting in your house. So that screen is placed there. Sister Sharon, I think it is your phone.
But I didn't, I'll go back to mute.
Okay, oh, thank you, ma'am.
I don't know what's going on.
It's no problem. So the purpose of God, he has to screen our lives. He has to screen out. Remember, the way to God is narrow. Most people desire to go the broad way. Going the broad way, meaning I want to take everything, all my baggages, all my hang-ups and hookups. The purpose of the cross is to screen out, to filter out everything that's not like God. Whatever has not been identified with Christ does not, it will not be allowed access to go forward. Okay? So when these Christians encountered this persecution and these different things, God was using the persecution, even though Satan may have used it for or meant it for bad. God used it to screen out everything that's not Christ-like. And he did that for a reason, because the only way I can progress forward to where Christ is seated at the throne of grace is by allowing this process of the cross of terminating me from day to day. See, we always want to, something happen to us, or somebody do something wrong to us, we want to give them a piece of our mind. God doesn't want that. That doesn't glorify him. The world teaches us that it's good when you promote self and defend self. But Christ says you must die to self. Y'all see this? This is what true Christianity is about. Why? It's not about me being on the scene, but God wants to show up. Christ wants to reveal his character in our hearts and lives. Why? We read in 2 Corinthians 4 last week that The God of this world system wants to hide the gospel, to keep the minds of people in the world blinded. See, Satan doesn't want these entertainers and these people that's in bond. We think that they're free, and I read a couple or saw a couple of the rappers and different musicians come out, and they were saying, people think this industry is all that. No, he said, you have to sign a contract, and whatever they want you to do and whatever they want you to say, you have to go with the program. And if you don't, they blackmail you. And if you do, they blackmail you, and if you choose not to go according to their agenda, then you stand a chance of that whatever they use to blackmail you will be used to keep you in line. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You have to understand that this, the way the enemy present people with the money and the fame, they're not free. Yet all of us little people striving to be like them, this is the world system. Satan uses this system to keep the minds blinded. And there we go, trying to mimic bondage. These people are headed straight down a path that's away from God. Okay? And what God wants for the believer is to, despite the obstacles, go forward. Because what? Grace, he can give us grace. He helps us. He said, come to the throne of grace where you can find help in time of need. Why? Because Christ, as our heavenly Melchizedek, Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek, he's there. And he's there to strengthen us through our difficulty, the sufferings we encounter here on earth. He's here to make us, help us to be overcomers. That's how he showed up in Abraham's life. Abraham left all his, the outcome of his problems in God's hand. He didn't sit there and calculate when Abraham went out to fight the four kings in their army to rescue Lot, his nephew. He didn't think twice. He knew that all things, that God was well able to take care of these four kings and their armies. And because he had faith and trusted in the living God, what happened? Melchizedek had already made intercession. And he already knew that Abraham trusted God. See, y'all see what I'm saying? His trust in God caused him to move and respond according to the will of God here on earth. He fought for God's interest in the earth. God's interest was Lot, the wayward nephew. Y'all see what I'm saying? God desires to have us be overcomers. But if I'm in fear and doubt and I don't know what to do, God says, how can I show myself strong when you're in my way? This is why we have to be terminated. Amen? So let's go back to Hebrews. Mm-hmm. I know that was a long introduction. Anybody have any questions or comments? We said last week when they were burned the sin offering. Remember, we are identified with the offering that the people will bring to be sacrificed for their sin. They had to put their hands on the offering and identify with it. So in other words, the innocence of the lamb would be transferred to the guilty offerer, and the guiltiness of the offerer was transferred to that lamb. So God would take the inward, because that lamb was supposed to represent a spotless sacrifice, which represented Christ. He would take the fat and the inward part, which was the richness and the sweetness of Christ giving himself as a sacrifice. God was satisfied only with Christ and his sacrifice. This is why your sacrifice and mine cannot appease God. Christ was the satisfaction. So I have to trust in what Christ accomplished by faith when I approach God. I have to believe God based upon the redemption made by Christ. And so that's how I identify with him, right? So I'm made righteous not because I'm a good person and I'm right in myself. No, I'm righteous because I'm in Christ. I'm identified with that sacrifice. Y'all see what I'm saying? And what else has to happen with that sacrifice? Not only was I identified in God accepting him and me becoming righteous, I also had that lamb. The second aspect was the skin, the flesh, and the dung had to be removed of that same sacrifice, taken outside the camp and burned. So my natural, that represented my natural man, Me in the flesh. That doesn't satisfy God. See, some of us get off on showing out in the flesh. But in the eyes of God, he had to take that and burn it. So the natural aspects of the animal skin, flesh, and dung, all of that had to be burned and turned to ashes. And we said last week, that's what has to happen to our natural goodness, our natural kindness, our natural anything that our natural love. It has to be burned. It has to be burned so that God can show up and reveal himself. He wants to live his life through us. That makes sense? He wants to come forth out of us. His life, see, our life is hidden in Christ. It's just like a coat. If I put a coat on, you don't see what's underneath the coat. You just see the coat, and that coat is Christ. I'm in him. Y'all see what I'm saying? And so what people need to see outside is Christ, not me. My life is hidden in Christ Jesus. So when Christ is seen and shown and shows up, then the world can be drawn to him. Okay? So when Christ, before we get to Hebrews 7, when Christ acts, when Paul said, come to the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16, we got to understand what grace is. And I know we say, oh, grace is unmerited favor, which it is. It's unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor of God. But listen at this. Grace is God himself flowing into, through, and out of us to do everything for us. You see that? That's what grace is. Grace is the process Christ living through us, in us. So when I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, remember, before the fall, I mean, before after the fall, everything about man fell. My spirit, my soul, and my body. It was in a fallen state. But upon salvation, me accepting Jesus Christ, see, my conscience start realizing your spirit man is your conscience, your intellect, your intuition. See, those things, there was a conviction, and so you saw a need. So therefore, through the conviction, your human spirit received Jesus Christ, and so you were regenerated in your spirit. Now Christ dwells in your human spirit, and he has to permeate your soul, which is your emotions, your mind, and your will, and your heart has to be permeated as well, which is the same as the soul, but it includes your conscience. Y'all understand that? Without the conscience being open to God, see, this is why your heart has to be changed. Your conscience has to be convicted and open for God to come into. And if I receive Christ, in my human spirit is where God dwells, the Spirit of God, and from there, he wants to penetrate his life in, settle down in my life. And I have to be willing to let him, meaning that when he comes in my human spirit, he comes in and he wants to penetrate or permeate my soul, which is my mind. I cannot be renewed unless my mind, I can't be transformed unless my mind is renewed. If I'm not willing to change, God can only enter into my spirit man. And I'm not allowing him, because of the hardness of my heart, to penetrate my mind, my will, and my emotions, which eventually affect what happens outwardly through my body. See this? God works and changes me from the inside out. But I have to be willing to have a renewed mind. I have to be poor in spirit. I have to give up my right to be right. I have to give up my way of doing things and be willing to say, Lord, not my will, thy will. Lord, this is what I was taught. This is all I know, but I'm willing to lay it aside so that you can live through me. Y'all see that? That's what grace is. Grace is God doing everything in and through me. He has to flow through my life and out of my life. So we used the analogy of the woman at the well last week. The woman at the well was caught up in the act of adultery, and she had all kind of men, and Christ said, where's your husband? And she said she didn't have one, but he said, the one you with is not your husband. She had five, and one that she was with wasn't her husband. And the woman perceived that he was a prophet or something. Her encounter with Christ transformed. He transformed her life. It didn't matter. When he acknowledged her wrong, when he exposed her wrong, she acknowledged it, meaning she was willing to admit what she was. This is what God wants. This is what it means to be pure in spirit. Not trying to cover it up, hide it, and all this thing. We let God, Lord, you're right. I am. I am a sinner. I am that cheater. I am that whatever it is. Y'all understand that liar. I'm that person. And God, he knows we're not perfect, but he just wants us to admit and allow him to change and transform us. This is grace. Why? Because he's trying to live through us. Anybody have any questions? So when we hit Hebrews chapter 7, we're going from the ministry on earth to his ministry now in heaven. Okay? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. If there are no questions, let's go to verse, y'all remember where we stopped last week? I think it was verse.
Was it 17?
I think it was.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's start there at verse 17. We're talking about this ministry. We said that now Christ is according, his ministry according to the order of Melchizedek in heaven. Okay, this is the second aspect of his ministry. So, Sister Cherry, I can read that if you want me to, since that echo is there.
You hear it?
I hear it.
Okay.
Verse 17. For it is testified, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For there is, on the one hand, the setting aside of the preceding commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. I'm reading in a different translation. For the law perfected nothing. And on the other hand, the bringing in thereupon of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Now, understand what this is talking about here. It's talking about, it says, the commandment on the regulations of the law concerning the Levitical priesthood was set aside because it was merely the letters and thus was weak. It was not only a matter of life, but was a dead commandment in the letters. Thus, it was unprofitable. Because of the weakness of man, the law perfected nothing. So the law wasn't bad, but it was that we were weak through the fall. Remember we talked about the fall earlier? Man could not live for God based upon man's effort. Man was corrupted. So it says, upon the position occupied by the commandment, this better hope is the priesthood in an indestructible life. That life is the life of Christ. So the law of Moses wasn't that it was imperfect. It was that we weren't perfect. We couldn't keep it. So what the law did, the law basically revealed to man that you can't keep the law. You fall short because you're a sinner. That's what the law does. It shows us that we have fallen short and man cannot keep God's commandment. So therefore, it demands somebody or something greater without sin, someone without sin, okay? And this is where Christ comes in. He came in. He was fully God. He was divinity, but he could not redeem us as God, divinity alone. He had to become a man just like the first Adam. That's why he became incarnate. Now, what made him a man was the fact that he was born of a woman, but the blood never mixed with that of her laying with another man. She was placed in her womb by the Holy Spirit. See this? That's why he was without sin. So Christ, when we talk about the baby, the son born, a child born, a son given, it was the fact that he was placed in Mary's womb. and she had never been touched by a man. He's never been mingled with sin. So that's what made him sinless. So now he could perform. He was a man. It was the Word who wrapped himself in flesh, and he became the Son of Man. He's not only the Son of God, but the Son of Man, meaning that he's our representative man, but yet without sin, okay? Because he was human, he had the ability to be tempted. That's why Satan came in and tempted him in all points. But yet he fully obeyed. He didn't fall like Adam, the first Adam. He fulfilled the will of God and accomplished the will of God, okay? So what qualified him to become a high priest was the fact that he went through everything. Y'all see this? He went through everything, but yet without sin, as a human and as a man. He was fully God and yet fully man. He never lost possession of his deity. He just laid it aside to express himself as a man. He did not come to earth to express himself as God. Had he expressed himself as God, this is why Satan took him to a high mountain and told him, if you jump, God will send his angels and they will redeem you, they will help you. But he didn't say the whole scripture, right? So what he wanted him to do, he said, if you're so hungry, because he hadn't eaten 40 days, 40 nights, and he was there for 40 days, but he was there with Satan. And so he was hungry. His humanity was hungry. Satan tempted him in his humanity. Satan knew he was the Son of God. But he knew he was the Son of Man. So there was a temptation. And he said, if you are, or since you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. See? Had he done that, he would have been disqualified to be Redeemer because he would have used his powers as God. Satan tempts us to come off the cross. We're supposed to be nailed. We're supposed to be nailed, and our passions and lusts are supposed to be nailed with Christ. And every day there is a temptation for man, those of us that are living according to faith in Christ, to come off the cross. You're tempted daily. We have problems, situations, and the first thing we want to do, and this is what the flesh does, the flesh either want to fight or it will flee, but it will not trust. It will fight or it will flee, but it will not trust. This is what the flesh is. Peter, when he was in the garden and they came in to arrest Christ, first thing he did was pull his sword out and cut off the ear of one of the temple soldiers. Okay, and Christ said, Peter, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. He picked the man's ear up and put it back on and healed him. He said, if I wanted to save myself, I could have called down legions of angels. But that wasn't his purpose. See this? The flesh. Then at the same breath, Peter told Christ, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never betray you. I never deny you. But then when Christ was put on trial, they said, hey, look at that man. He hung out with Christ. He said, no, I didn't. He started cursing and swearing three times. And he remembered that Christ said, you will deny me three times before the cock crow. Y'all see what I'm saying? So we can't trust. We will fight or we will flee, but we won't trust the natural energy of man. Y'all see what I'm saying? But when Christ comes into us and establishes us and we trust in him and he makes his abode in us, we will be able to stand in the midst of the most difficult of trial and still our leaves will remain green in a drought. Y'all hear me? This is the whole purpose and point of us being light in darkness. The world can't stand to the pressure of this world system. There has to be someone who can stand and be different in the midst and shine as light, even in the face of death. So it says in verse 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitable thereof. So this disannulling is talking about the law being disannulled, okay? Did I read the wrong scripture earlier? I want to make sure I was in the right place. What was that? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. I think I read the wrong scripture. Y'all help me out. Are y'all there? Did I put y'all to sleep?
You want to focus on chapter 18.
Did I read verse 18?
No, you didn't
read
that.
I read 17.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
So we know Christ is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 18, for there is on the one hand the setting aside of the preceding commandment because of his weakness and unprofitableness. Now, here it's talking about disannulling, which means to abolish, which is the same as putting away sin. So his death put away the law for two reasons. One, weakness. It cannot impart strength nor justification. And two, it was unprofitable. It could not impart life. Understand that. This is why the law or the old commandment had to be disannulled. This is why Christ had to come in as the priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is what his death and his resurrection and ascension accomplished. It placed him as the high priest in a different aspect now. He fulfilled the earthly ministry. Now his ministry according to the heavenly order of or type of Melchizedek, it disannulled or abolished the old. It had to put it to death or put it away. Why? Because it was weak. It couldn't give us strength, nor could it give justification. So that made it unprofitable because it couldn't give us life. Remember, grace is God imparting his life in the believer now, so that we can live, we can be holy, not just say I'm holy and my actions are contrary, but I can actually be holy. So it says, thus the priesthood that is after the law can only be temporary. Remember, the old Levitical priesthood was temporary. So it says, this is a clear statement that the law has been put away. This was essential for Jesus to function in his new priesthood. If the law were still in effect, he could not be priest. See this? This is why it had to be disannulled. It had to be abolished because it was according to the old order. So now, this was essential for Jesus to function in his new priesthood. If the law were still in effect, he could not be priest. He could not be priest. He could be priest only because the law has been put away. He is again making the point that the law itself didn't perfect anything. It simply shows us our need for a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. It could not perfect us. It showed us that we fall short. It showed us we couldn't keep the Ten Commandments in the energy of our own strength. We can't live for God in the energy of our own strength. Why? Because we have a nature that has a bent towards wrongdoing that prevents us. So we need something that's better. It says in verse 19, any questions? For the law perfected nothing. And on the other hand, the bringing in thereof of a better hope through which we draw near to God. So the commandment or the regulations of the law concerning the Levitical priesthood was set aside because it was merely in letters and thus was weak. It was not a matter of life, but was a dead commandment in letters, so it was unprofitable. Because of the weakness of man, the law perfected nothing. And that's in Romans 8, chapter 3. Remember, because of us, it wasn't that the law was weak. We're weak. We couldn't keep it. So this better hope is the priesthood in an indestructible life. So here we have, it says in verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So the law of Moses is a terrifying picture of a God that requires righteousness. It does not draw you to or near to a holy God. Only God can fulfill the law and provide you with righteousness, which allows you to be in the presence of a holy God. So when they were in the mountain and all that stuff, in Mount Sinai, God was trying to draw close to the people, but he couldn't, because when they heard the thundering and they saw the smoke in the mountain, and God told them, don't nobody come to this mountain. If you touch it, you're going to die. The people were scared, and they said, we don't want to hear from him, Moses. You come tell us, because they were terrified, okay? They couldn't draw near. But Jesus draws us near unto God. This is why we need Christ and his atonement. The same God that we saw in the Old Testament, if they touched the mountain, they would drop dead. If they did anything, he's not changed. His mind has not changed about sin. He still feels the same way. But the difference today is that Jesus Christ became the propitiation, or the satisfaction, and the offering, the sin offering, which causes us who believe in God to draw nigh unto God. See this? Through his love we draw near, and by his righteousness we can be near God. One of the purposes of the law was to be a tutor, to lead people to the Messiah. So this is the same point that Paul makes in Galatians 3, 23 through 25. Any questions? I want to make sure I'm not losing anybody. Questions or comments? Okay, so here in verse, let me get here. I think it was verse 20. So it says in verse 20, and inasmuch as he was not made a priest without the taking of an oath, for they are appointed priests without the taking of an oath, but he was the taking of, he with the taking of an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not regret it. You are a priest forever. Okay? So here, all it's saying here is that it says, for those priests were made without an oath, but this was with an oath by him. By him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. All this is saying that Christ, the Levitical priesthood was not set up with an oath. It was a genealogical, but the priesthood, according to the order of Melchizedek, was unique in that it was by divine oath. That's in Psalms 110, verse 4. So the things that God establishes by an oath become permanent and unchangeable. The Levitical priesthood was by lineage, a genealogical priesthood. It wasn't by an oath. You see that? That's all it's saying. Verse 22 says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Surety is like a bondsman or a sponsor, someone who gives himself as security. That's what Jesus did for us with this better or the new covenant or the new testament. He became a surety. He became a bondsman for us, a sponsor. He gave himself for our security. So we're not perfect. We will still mess up. We still do stuff. But because we're covered in the blood of Jesus, because we trust in his sacrifice and the offerings, this is what makes it possible for us to have access to God the Father. And we're not destroyed, but we're able to come or walk in this ministry according to the order of Melchizedek. Any questions or comments? I want to make sure I don't lose anybody. So let me explain the concept of a surety. It says, this concept of a surety first emerges when Judah proposes that he be made a surety for the return of his brothers. A surety is a security deposit. The tribe which is thus represented is Judah. Our security is in the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Christ is our security. If I do away with Christ and the cross, this is why I understand some religions, they look at Christ as just a good man, or he was just a prophet, or what have you. You're doing away with your security. you're doing away with your sponsor. Remember, if God doesn't see the blood, he told them when they were in Egypt to put the blood, when the death angel was coming through, he said, take and put blood on the doorpost of the lintel. And when they put the blood on the doorpost, what happened was the death angel would pass by them. Now, they had to be in the house, and they had to have the blood applied. So if we're in Christ and the blood is applied because of his, we have faith in his death and what it accomplished, what happens is God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm not going to judge you based upon what's your sin and your faults. So those folks that were in the house, I'm sure they were scared. I'm sure they doubted. I'm sure they had hang-ups and hook-ups. But God didn't judge them based upon that. He judged them based upon their action to move and get in the house and apply the blood. Y'all see what I'm saying? And this is the same for you and I. We have to have faith in Christ where the blood was applied. If I just have faith in Christ that he was this good man, he was a historical Christ, he was a prophet, that's not the same as being in Christ. There's a lot of people that say they believe that Christ existed. They believe that he walked the earth, but they don't put their faith in it. Even Satan believes, says the demons believe and tremble, but they don't believe as far as trusting in him for salvation. They believe and know because they're under his authority. They know he's the Son of God. Every time Christ would show up and a demonic person was there, the first thing they would do, the demonic spirits would, Son of Man, don't cast us out. Our time is not yet. Son of Man, they respected him because they knew who he was. And we have to respect and know. See, you don't want to just respect him and know of him. You want to be in him. You want to be found in Christ, covered, so that God's judgment not be applied or come upon us. That makes sense? Okay, let's go to verse, we stopped at verse 23. It says, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. So since they were mortal and died, they had to be continually replaced. This is in contrast, this is what Sister Cynthia mentioned earlier, to our high priest who lives forever. Unchangeable means it says, which passeth not from one to another. See, Christ is our high priest. Now, we're talking about the different aspects of Christ. Any questions before we go further? Now, just to recap, I want you to see Christ's ministry on earth. This explains it. Now, this is what his... When Christ offered himself to God for our sins, the first thing that our Lord did in his priestly ministry was to offer himself to God for our sins. He was the real sin offering. He was the unique sin offering. So from the foundation of the world, Christ was a unique sin offering. As such an offering, he offered himself to God for our sins. So the book of Hebrews, all the way up to chapter 6, present Christ as a sin offering. That's the offering we explained earlier, how God, the fat was taken and burnt on the altar, but the flesh, the dung, and the skin was taken out and burned outside of the camp. That was Christ when he was crucified on the cross. He was taken outside of the camp. This is the earthly ministry where he fulfilled. His earthly ministry also made a propitiation for our sin. So sin, which has been taken away, caused many issues. All of those issues became problems between us and God. Therefore, at the time when Christ took away sin, he also made propitiation for us with God. So he became the satisfaction. He appeased God. In other words, we could not approach God. They couldn't approach that mountain where God's presence was. Moses was called to go up into the mountain along with Joshua, but they couldn't go all the way to the top. Moses did. And so God said, don't touch it. But because of Christ, he became the propitiation. He made it possible for us to have access to God. See this? Only because of what he accomplished. This is why we can't do away with Christ and his atonement. I need it daily. We never leave the foundation of the cross, but we use it to step to the next level and experience his ministry according to the order of Melchizedek, which is to overcome sin. Okay? His earthly ministry also made purification for sin. It purified our conscience. Because remember, when they would offer those animal sacrifices, it had to be constantly because it only covered it temporarily, and then there was a daily reminder of their sin. But Christ's death purified our conscience where we can go on daily with God and not be hindered by a conscience of sin. His earthly ministry also sanctifies us through his offering with his blood. What we have to understand here, and I got to check my time, we have to understand that not only did he purify our sins, but also sanctified us or separated us or set us apart unto God. So it's not based upon how you feel about yourself. You are sanctified. So according to Christ's figuration, you have been separated. You have been sanctified. You do not belong to the city where you live. You belong to God. How many of us are more caught up in the right now and where we're at and the location and what's going on in this world system? This is not our home. You and I have been separated. What I mean by that is you're in the world, but you're not of it. The things that happen in the world are used by Satan to pull us away from being in Christ and being purified and having our conscience seared and being separated unto God. So what Satan does, this is what happened in the scriptures. Christ said, told Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. Sifting is an inward agitation to the point of overthrow. What is he trying to overthrow? He said, but I have prayed that your faith fail not. So the circumstances you and I face in this world, outside of ourselves, the things outside of us, are what's used by Satan to sift you. Bring us to the point of inward agitation, to the point of overthrow. Y'all ever been inwardly agitated by circumstances and situations to the point you can't think right? You're so anxious about it that it caused you to abandon faith, stop trusting and leaving matters in God's hands and going on and trusting him despite what things look like? See, Satan wants to pull you from being separated unto God. And so being separated means that I leave all matters into God's hand. It doesn't matter what happens to me outwardly. We've been sanctified and we've been separated unto God by Christ through his offering with his blood. So when Christ died on the cross, offering himself for us, he separated us to God. So when you hear that, you may feel like, well, according to my experience, I don't feel like I'm separated. No, you and I have to be patient. Sometimes you have to wait years, weeks, months, the next age. But you are sanctified. And the more you trust and wait, I say, on the Lord, the more the change will occur in our hearts and life. This is what his ministry, the earthly ministry, according to Aaron, accomplished. He perfected us through his blood by offering himself unto God. He perfected us. See this? And I'm not going to read all of these, but I just want you to see some of the things that the earthly ministry accomplished. All of this was done by the cross and by his life here on earth. All of those things are what was used by the Spirit of God to give, or where God gained through his earthly ministry to give us access to the living God. Amen. Any questions? Because my time is almost up already. I think I got 1 minute, probably less than a minute. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Let me finish up this verse. Verse 22 says, by so much Jesus has also become the surety of a better covenant, and they are appointed priests, many in number, because death prevents them from continuing. But he, because he abides forever, has his priesthood unalterable. Hence also he is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through him, since he lives always to intercede for us. Christ's ministry, according to the order of Melchizedek, is a ministry of intercession. Not that he's up there praying and praying, it's his presence. He accomplished the cross, and now that he's seated at the right hand, his presence makes intercession for us. So it says, Christ as our high priest undertakes our case by interceding for us. He appears before God on our behalf and prays for us that we may be saved and brought fully into God's eternal purpose. In his ascension, Christ passed through the heavens so that now he not only is in heaven, but also is higher than the heavens, far above all the heavens. And so this is where Christ is seated. So that means he's gone beyond the principalities, Satan, all the demonic spirit, all your troubles, all your problems. He's gone through those. So this is why we come to the throne, not to our problem and just pour our hearts about the problem. We come to God that we may get the strength we need through Christ, the bread and the wine. Remember when Abraham showed up and he fought on behalf of God's interest in the earth? God showed up to strengthen him by offering the bread and the wine, which is the body of Christ. This is the ministry of Christ according to the order of Melchizedek. He makes intercession for us. This is why Abraham could defeat the armies with the four kings, because intercession was made on his behalf. And when he stood for the interest of God, didn't care about what happened around him, didn't care about how large the armies were. He only had 318 men. But God showed up because there was righteousness and peace based upon Abraham's faith in God. And wherever there was chaos, Abraham brought the righteousness and peace to the situation. Y'all see what I'm saying? This is what God wants for us here on earth. He doesn't want your situation to overtake you through anxiety and losing your peace. He wants the righteousness of Christ that's in you, that you and I obtain by faith, and the peace of God that surpasses all your understanding to guard your heart and rule you, so that you and I can walk in the authority and accomplish the will of God here on earth. God wants his presence known in the earth. This is why we have to daily draw nigh unto God. That's what this chapter is all about. It's about trusting God despite what you and I see, knowing that the high priest has our back, knowing that if we trust him and leave all our cares and concern in his hands, that he will make a way, that he has made a way. And all I do is wait until it materializes. I don't doubt him because of what I feel or what I see. I trust him. And on that note, I'm going to have to close. But I want to thank everyone for tuning in on tonight. We thank you. And we pray that we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk. Those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. But we want to thank you again. And we'll see you next week on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.